Self-Evident is a platform that is dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident, but doing so in love. Hey guys, welcome back. So the past few weeks, we've been posting many, many amazing interviews that you are not going to want to miss. We posted interviews with Annie Cyrus, a former child bride who escaped from Iran, and her experience with Islam and Sharia, and then equating that to America's stance on Israel. We were also able to speak with Maya Poet. She is a former Israeli resident, and she was actually in Israel, living in Israel during the October 7 attacks. So we get her take on her personal experiences and also America's response to Israel as well. We also had amazing episodes with Pastor Cesar LaFleur, how he got involved with Public School Exit, how he got involved in the pro-life movement. So many interviews that you are not going to want to miss. Go to selfevidentpodcast.com or look us up on any podcast streaming platform that you use. All right, today I wanted to do more of a theological episode. The past few weeks have been heavily, heavily inundated in news, in conservative media, with a lot of politics, a lot of cultural issues going on. And I just wanted to take this episode to bring us back to the foundation, to bring us back to why we do what we do. That's why I titled this episode, God Cares About Politics, So Should You. Because I wanted us, like I said, to come back to the foundation. Why do we do what we do? Why do we think the way we think? Why do we act the way that we act? And why should we care about politics? So for this episode, I just wanted to hit on three major issues in the media, in the culture, that I want to bring back to the foundation of God's word for where we get our stances, why we care so much, and why we're involved, and why Christians should be involved, why Christians should care about politics. And this is kind of on the heels of Cruz's recent stance on the 2024 election, where whether or not you voted for Kamala Harris or Donald Trump, it really doesn't matter. And then they took a more coddling side to the left, saying how sorry they were that they're hurting, and we can empathize with you, and we're here for you, et cetera, et cetera. And I just kind of, this isn't the purpose of the episode, but I just want to push back on that narrative, this equating of morality between the two sides of the political parties that is heavily inundated, specifically in the evangelical Christian world. And it's just not something you find in scripture. It is not something you find the God of the Bible saying. So that is kind of the precipice or the reason why I thought, you know what? I think it's time to bring our listeners back to the reason why. So today, like I said, I just want to focus on three main issues. First one is abortion. Second one is LGBTQ. And third one is illegal immigration. I would say those are the main things that are plaguing our society as a whole. So the first one, abortion. Abortion, of course, is the intentional ending of a preborn life in the womb. It is not a miscarriage. Abortion is not receiving miscarriage care. Abortion is not receiving medical care for an emergency situation. Abortion is the intentional killing of a preborn life in the womb. And why is this an issue? Many political commentators, many Christian commentators don't like to use scripture in their argumentation. And I can understand surface level why they don't like to do that, because many of the listeners don't ascribe to any type of religion, don't ascribe to any type of even religious philosophy of morality. So using scripture as the foundation is not going to connect with the audience. However, I take a bit of a more radical maybe stance on scripture that no, it doesn't matter whether or not you're a religious person. It doesn't matter whether or not you ascribe to the morality of the Bible, because the truth is the Bible is true. Scripture is all authoritative for all of life, for every human being, whether you want to admit that fact or not. And ultimately, everyone will bow at the feet of Jesus, Philippians 2. So it doesn't matter to me whether or not the person I'm talking to is an atheist and I'm using scripture as my foundation, because at the end of the day, that is the final authority. And I would argue, if you're not using scripture as your final authority, then at the end of the day, all that you have is an opinion. Science is not all authoritative. Biology is not all authoritative. Biology can make mistakes. Biologists can make mistakes. Scientists can make mistakes. Science is always increasing in knowledge every single year. It is not omniscient. Now, I'm not talking, again, we'll get into this issue with LGBTQ. I'm not talking about genders being able to change when I say science and biology are not authoritative. What I mean by that is that science and biology do not have the ability to address worldview issues. That is not their design. That's not why God designed them. Whereas scripture does have the ability to address worldview issues. And that is why scripture must be, as Christians, our final authority. Whether or not we're speaking to someone who agrees with us or doesn't agree with us, it truly doesn't matter at the end of the day, because truth is truth. And we as believers, we as Christians, are called to speak the truth. All right, that is my tangent on why I disagree with many cultural commentators in the media business today on how they address these issues. Again, I understand why they take the positions they do. I don't believe it is as effective as the living and active, breathing word of God, Hebrews 4. Let's get into abortion. Like I said, abortion is not miscarriage care. Abortion is the intentional killing of a preborn life, a preborn baby inside of the womb. And God cares a lot about this. Exodus 20:13, thou shalt not murder. One of the key building blocks of society that God gives his people in the Ten Commandments, do not kill people. Do not intentionally kill people. I would say that's pretty clean, cut, and dry when it comes to abortion. Human beings do not reproduce ducks. We don't reproduce horses. We reproduce other human beings that are made in the image of God. Genesis 1, 27 and 28. We are not reproducing it significant less things. These are human beings that have unique DNA from the moment of conception, that have feelings from the moment of conception, that have emotions. Their eye color, their skin color, their height, their weight proclivities, all of these things are determined. Their personalities are determined. A unique DNA code is given at the moment of conception that will never exist again and has never existed before. And science and biology back this up 100%. And so, what do we do with that information? If we know that from the moment of conception, we have a unique image bearer before us, is it right to intentionally end his or her life? And the Bible says no. The Bible says, do not murder. It is a human being. Murder relates to human beings. Therefore, abortion is murder. Proverbs 6, 16 and 19, God hates those who shed innocent blood. Jeremiah 1, 5, God tells Jeremiah that he knew him before the foundations of the world. Before he was in the womb, he knew him and he set him apart. He consecrated him to be a prophet. Psalm 139, David praises the Lord that he is fearfully and wonderfully made, that he was woven in the depths of the earth, that God knew him in his mother's womb, that he was intentionally formed and created. What are we as Christians supposed to do with scripture like that when we see clearly that God has significant design, value, dignity assigned to life in the womb? We as Christians can do nothing but be pro-life in all cases. It doesn't matter for special circumstances of horrible things like rape or incest. It is never right. It is never just, never godly, never kind, never gentle, never true to intentionally end the life of a pre-born image bearer in the womb. And so when we are faced with cultural discussions, media discussions of abortion, what do we do with this issue? We as Christians, we must come back to scripture. What does the Bible say? What does the God of the Bible say? What does the God of the universe say, who created all of this? If God is the creator, Genesis 1:1, then he is the authority of all things. Colossians says that all things have been made through him, Jesus, and for him. And in him, all things hold together. If that is true, if we as Christians say, yes, that's true, that God is the final authority, why are we going to something else when it comes to abortion? Christian, I know there are many evangelical Christians that claim to be pro-life, and yet they excuse the exceptions for rape and incest. And I challenge you to think biblically about that. Is it ever good, true, biblical to intentionally murder the life of an innocent pre-born image bearer in the womb? God says no. And so as Christians, we submit to God's word, to God's teaching. Therefore, we are pro-life. And I know that maybe that's an easy argument for you to understand. Maybe it's a hard one for you to understand. But my goal in this episode is to, again, bring you back to the foundation. Why do we believe what we believe? Why are we pro-life? Why are we against gay marriage? Why are we against LGBTQ? Who actually cares? It's because God cares. And so we as Christians, we follow Jesus. We are disciples of Jesus. And if he cares about something, if he says something, we submit to that. We care about that. We do something about that. You know, I think of Esther. And when I was in college, I had an entire theology class dedicated to the book of Esther. It was a beautiful class, wonderful professor. What we did was we dissected the book. And Esther is one of those books where God's name is never expressly given in the book, which makes it, in my opinion, that much more beautiful and that much more riveting of a story. Because we, in our daily lives, we don't have voices from heaven. We don't have prophets telling us direct revelation because we have the revelation of Scripture. And so we can often fall into this idea that because we don't see God or have direct experiences with God, that he is somehow disconnected from our daily life. And yet the book of Esther puts all of those questions, all of those ideas to silence, because we see that even though God's name is not mentioned, he is ever present in the storytelling in the book of Esther. And what we see when it comes to government and whether Christians, when it comes to abortion, and I am tying all this together, I promise, that Christian, it's not just enough for you to be personally pro-life. You need to be actively involved in the culture. You cannot hermitize yourself. God does not call us to hermitize ourselves and say, okay, you have this Christianity, just hold on to it, stay in your basement, don't talk to people because Jesus is coming back and I'm just waiting for his return. No, that's not what we're told. We're told to make disciples, which means we're supposed to talk to people. We're supposed to share the truth. And in our culture today, part of sharing the truth, what it looks like for us today, is pushing back against the narratives of the culture that directly go against God's word. And abortion is a big one. And what we see in the book of Esther is heavy involvement in the government when Mordecai finds out about Haman's decree that the entire Jewish population in Persia is going to be completely eliminated in a brutal manner. He doesn't tell Esther, hey, just pray privately that God will do a miracle, something miraculous to save us. And we're just going to trust that, you know, because God's sovereign, we're just going to sit back and see what he's going to do. Not saying that sometimes that's not what we're told to do, to wait on the Lord. We are told to do that many times in Scripture. But what we see in the book of Esther is active involvement. Esther directly went to the king. She directly pleaded for the life of her people. And because of her involvement, because of her obedience, because of her pursuing truth in the culture, we see the entire Jewish population being spared from slaughter. And so I challenge you, Christian, to not hermitize yourself, to not just say, oh, that's politics, I don't want to get involved. Politics is very interested in you. You might not be interested about politics, but politics is interested in you. And politics is interested in the God of the Bible, because politics nowadays is directly in contradiction to Scripture. We're not talking about tariffs versus taxes. We're not talking about economic ideals. We're talking about whether or not we can kill people in the womb. And God cares about that. So you, Christian, must care about that. It is your duty, your responsibility to care about that. When it comes to LGBTQ, it's the same thing. Genesis 1:27, 28. God just doesn't make us in his image genderless. In fact, he assigns gender in the image of God. So when we affirm that someone who is born male is still male, will always be a biological male, no matter what kind of hormones they're on, no matter what kind of facial surgeries they get, no matter what kind of voice augmentations they get, body augmentations, no matter what you do, you will always be male. Not only are you affirming biological truth in that individual, you are affirming the imago Dei, that they are image bearers, that God created them in his image with a specific gender, and that that gender has the ability to glorify God. That is a beautiful principle that we can bring to fellow believers struggling with homosexuality, struggling with transgenderism in their thought life. That is a beautiful principle that we can bring that can give freedom, that God intentionally and purposefully designed their bodies to glorify him, that their bodies are not genderless masses. They have meaning. Their body is designed to have purpose and meaning. And in fact, God created them in his image with that gender so that they could glorify God with their gender, with their body. 1 Corinthians 6 tells us to glorify God in our bodies. This goes against the Gnostic principles that are coming back in our culture in transgenderism, which says that your body doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want. Biology doesn't matter. Your body doesn't matter. It only matters what you think, what you feel. If you feel like you're a woman, then you're a woman. It doesn't matter what your body looks like. And what we as Christians say, no, the body does matter. You do matter. Your physical state does matter. God created it to matter. He created it to be beautiful and have meaning and purpose. He created it so that you could take care of it, to protect it, which is why sexual sin is so grievous in the eyes of God. And in fact, it is the one sin that God says that we sin against ourselves when we commit sexual sin. That's how grievous it is. And so back to LGBTQ, coming back to scripture, it's not just biology that we're affirming. We are affirming scripture. We are affirming Genesis 1. In an individual, we push back against this idea that your body doesn't matter, marriage is whatever it wants to be, and anyone can become a woman, anyone can become a man. So it's actually the most loving thing we can do is push back against that, to not affirm that, to not do pronoun politeness. It is most loving to speak the truth to someone. Speak it in love, of course, but it is most loving to speak the truth to someone. It is never loving to lie to someone or affirm a lie that they are believing about themselves. And the final one I want to touch on today is illegal immigration. This is a big subject in our culture today, especially last week with Laken Riley's killer's trial. Very hard to watch, very hard to sit through, very hard to have content coming out from that, of the reality of what happens when a government refuses to keep its people safe. And when it comes to illegal immigration, one of the tenets that seems to be floating around is that borders are bad. And I just want to take you once again, we go back to scripture. What does God say? Because we have a lot of different ideas coming at us in the culture. And what we have to do is say, what does God say about this? What does scripture say? Because scripture is the final authority. Numbers 34. God shows Moses the borders of Israel. So God actually creates borders for countries, specifically in this passage, the nation of Israel. So borders can't be bad if God created them, if God designed them for the nation of Israel. Jeremiah 29, Jerusalem, Judah is going into exile in Babylon. Jeremiah 29, God tells them, seek the welfare of the city that you will be placed in, because in its welfare, you will find your welfare. Cities have walls, cities have borders, and the people of Israel were not just supposed to sit and wait around for their deliverance. They were supposed to actively make the city a better place. How do I, as a community member of the community that I'm living in, of the state that I'm living in, of the country I'm living in, how do I seek the welfare of the people that God has placed around me? I seek the welfare by making sure there are policies in place that keep my family safe, that keep my community safe. And open border policies, like we saw with Laken Riley's trial, do not keep anyone safe. Therefore, it is my Christian duty and responsibility to oppose those. Borders are good. God is the creator of government. Government exists to protect its people. And I just want to read a Got Questions article really quickly. I won't read the whole thing, that talks very beautifully about this principle of illegal immigration and what scripture has to say about it. Quote, Romans 13:1-7 makes it abundantly clear that God expects us to obey the laws of government. The only exception to this is when a law of government forces us to disobey a command of God, Acts 5:29. Illegal immigration is the breaking of a government's law. There is nothing in scripture that contradicts the idea of a sovereign nation having immigration laws. Therefore, it is rebellion against God to unlawfully enter another country. Illegal immigration is a sin. Illegal immigration is definitely a controversial issue in the United States. Some argue that the immigration laws are unfair, unjust, and even discriminatory, thus giving individuals justification to immigrate illegally. However, Romans 13:1-7 does not give any permission to violate a law just because it is perceived as unjust. Again, the issue is not the fairness of a law. The only biblical reason to violate a government's law is if that law violates God's word. When Paul wrote the book of Romans, he was under the authority of the Roman Empire, led by Emperor Nero. Under that reign, there were many laws that were unfair, unjust, and/or blatantly evil. Still, Paul instructed Christians to submit to the government. This is an amazing article. I will link it below so that you can read the entire thing in context. But I just wanted to end on that note. God's word has a lot to say about abortion, LGBTQ, illegal immigration, specifically what we just ended on illegal immigration. It is never right, never good to violate a government's law just because you have the perception of it being unjust. And yes, are there issues with our immigration system in the United States? Of course. Of course. It takes good people a long time to get into this country. And yet that should not dictate whether or not we obey a law or not, whether or not it's fair, like this article so beautifully pointed out. Our job as Christians is to submit to government. So when we see people promoting the idea that unsubmission to the government is okay in this specific case of illegal immigration, we need to push back against that because God's word says something different. Again, all of these cultural issues, we must come back to what scripture says, because at the end of the day, scripture is our final authority. It is our final authority for everything, for politics, for how employers treat employees, for how we run businesses, for how we conduct daily lives, for how we interact with family members, for how we treat our spouse, for how we view divorce. Scripture has things to say about every single subject under the sun. And so if we are not getting our views from scripture, we are getting our views from something that is not going to last and that does not ultimately have authority. So I challenge you, Christian, even if you're not a Christian and you're listening to this episode, I hope this gives you insight into why Christians believe what they believe and why, Christian, you should take biblical stances. You should be involved in politics. You should be pushing it back against the lies and evil narratives of the culture. All right, that is all we have time for today. Until next time, let us firmly rely on the protection of divine providence. This is Self-Evident.